Welcome everyone this evening to the live stream of Grace Life Bible Church and our midweek message. Glad that you have chosen to tune in and join us here this evening on YouTube. Before we get rolling, I just have a couple announcements, a couple things I want to remind some folks of. First of all, I want to thank everybody who tuned in yesterday when I was a guest on the Grace Life podcast. I was on there for an hour, had a good time answering questions with Joel and Mike. So I appreciate the opportunity to be there, and for all of you, especially those of you from the church who tuned in and watched that. Also, a reminder that Friday night we have our Living the Transformed Life Friday Night Fellowship. So if you want to be a part of that and you haven't been, you need to send me your current active email by noon on Friday so that I can make sure that I get an invitation to you for the meeting that starts Friday at 7 o'clock. So I appreciate that. A couple announcements. If you haven't checked your email from Sylvia this evening, we do have a couple people in our church who are reporting testing positive for COVID-19. Jeanette Nichols, the daughter of Jackie Vanderpool, has tested positive and has a case. It's believed at this time to be mild, but it definitely is a positive test. And also Brad Suderman. Brad is an elder at the church. He has also tested positive, believes that he has recovered at this point, but his wife, Marcy, is forced to self-quarantine until next Tuesday, so I'm told, according to Sylvia. So the situation with the virus is definitely impacting people in our assembly now. We just pray for them, pray that they'll, that whatever the particular struggles are there, that they'll be strong in your word and strong in God's word and his grace, and that we can be praying for them. Also, Fred, please continue to pray for Brother Fred Curtis. So I've been taking these opportunities on Wednesday night to, you know, kind of really address some things related to the situation with COVID-19 and the pandemic and those types of things. And last two times I've talked about, it was 2 weeks ago today, that there was the protest in Lansing. And that week I came on and I talked a little bit about some things related to the believer and government. And then I also talked last week about that topic. And there's a couple things that I ran over almost an hour and 10 minutes last Wednesday night. And so there was a couple more things I wanted to say about it that I didn't really have time to get to, that I want to take advantage of the opportunity tonight to talk about. So what I'm titling the lesson tonight is COVID-19 Scrambling Your Eggs. Is COVID-19 Scrambling Your Eggs? So if that title doesn't get your attention, I don't really know what will, but that's what I want to talk about. So turn with me in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6 again. Come in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And again, our topic tonight is COVID-19 Scrambling Your Eggs. I re-listened to my study from last Wednesday as I was preparing here and there. I actually listened to it in bits and pieces over the last two or three days. And I ended the time together last Wednesday night by talking a little bit about, just a little bit about issues related to conspiracy theories and what I believe the Bible calls evil surmisings. And I want to pick up the conversation with that tonight and kind of make that the focus of what we're going to cover this evening. So turn your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And as you turn there, let's just have a quick word of prayer. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We pray that we'll have clarity and understanding from your word, that will allow your word to renew our minds and be the standard and the basis upon which we judge things, not our experience, not our emotion, not what other people are doing, but the final authority and the written standard of your word. We're grateful for the time we could spend together this evening. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So last Wednesday night I talked about how disheartened I am to see the level of conspiratorial activity that is going on amongst believers, and particularly Grace believers, in social media. And again, I don't have any one particular person or situation or anybody from Grace Life Bible Church in mind specifically. I'm talking about general observations. I'm talking about observing what other people are posting, writing about, you know, and just observing that and taking all of that in, not from the standpoint of trying to work myself up, because that's really not the case. Becky and I were having a conversation this morning, and I said to her, I'm like, is something wrong with me that I'm not more worked up about all this stuff, about all the stuff going on with how it's being handled, the politics of the situation, you know, what's going on with the government and so on and so forth. It's not to say I don't have my moments, but I've made a conscious effort to stay away from the media. I've made a conscious effort to stay away from talk radio, from things that I know are just going to inflame my flesh and my emotions and get me all, you know, worked up and so on and so forth. And so that does not say I don't have my own, you know, private thoughts about things from time to time, but on the whole, I feel like I'm pretty chill with things. And I know that's not everybody's experience. So I asked my wife, I'm like, is you know, something wrong with me that this is the way I'm feeling about it? And we had an interesting conversation about that, and it kind of led to some of what I want to talk about this evening. 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's start at verse 1. Paul writes to Timothy, and he says, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. and that they have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, so that's contrary to the things that the faithful and beloved should partake in for their benefit there in verse 2. If any man teach otherwise, so it's teaching contrary to those things. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So all of Paul's epistles are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything that Paul said, he got by revelation of Jesus Christ. So when he makes this statement here in verse 3, he's talking about the words of Christ delivered to him, the words of Christ from heaven's glory that he's writing here by inspiration, okay? Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, verse 4, knowing nothing. Now watch. But doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy. So, strifes of words. There are things that come about as a result of strifes of words, according to this verse. Okay, it says, doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envying, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Okay? So, all those four things, envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, those are all the result of, in this verse, about doting about questions and strifes of words, okay? Now, a lot of people, when they read that, they think of, well, that's just people arguing about, you know, the meaning of words in the Bible and so on and so forth. Yeah, that's part of it, but that's not all that Paul has in mind there. He talks here specifically about evil surmisings, okay? Now, I want to talk about that for a minute again. I mentioned this last Wednesday, this issue here of evil surmisings, okay? Evil surmisings, the word evil, and I apparently lost my spot here, so I'm going to have to look it up again. The word evil is an adjective. It's an adjective, and here's what it means. Evil, having bad qualities of a natural kind, mischievous, having qualities which tend to injure or produce mischief. Mischief, not good things, right? Definition number 2 of the adjective evil. Having bad qualities of a moral kind, wicked, corrupt, perverse, wrong. And 3rd, unfortunate, unhappy, producing sorrows, distress, injury, or calamity. So if something's evil, it has bad qualities, it's mischievous, it produces mischief, it does not produce happiness, it produces a fundamental unhappiness and sorrow, according to the definition of the word. It produces distress, injury, and calamity. So it's not going to produce anything that's edifying. It's not going to produce anything that's going to build you up. It's not going to produce anything that's going to be the result of a... It's not produced as a result of a renewed mind, okay? And so that's what the word evil means. Now, if you look up the word surmise... Okay, surmise is a verb, and I want to read the definition again. It means to suspect, to imagine without certain knowledge. It literally says here, to imagine without certain knowledge. So your imagination is running away, and you do not have any base in knowledge. You have no certain knowledge to know whether or not where your imagination is taking you is actually true, whether or not it's actually valid, whether or not it actually corresponds to reality, okay? So to surmise is to suspect, to imagine without certain knowledge, to entertain thoughts that something does or will exist, but upon slight evidence. So if you take these two things together, what is an evil surmising? An evil surmising is something that produces mischief, unhappiness, it produces, it doesn't edify, and to surmise is to suspect and to imagine without certain knowledge. So if somebody is engaged in evil surmisings, that what they're engaged in is really conspiracy thinking. It's an imagination without certain knowledge. It's, well, there's this one little nugget over here, and if you just turn it this way and you look at it from this angle, then you see how everything all makes sense. surmising, suspecting, imagining without certain knowledge, based upon slight evidence. There might be a shred of evidence there, but the evidence is twisted, it's mangled, it's not used in a way that is doing anything but producing evil and imagination that does not have any certain knowledge. So here's a list. I made a list of all the conspiracy theories that I've heard believers talking about ever since COVID-19 started. And I'm not just talking here about believers. I'm talking about Pauline dispensational believers. Okay, so here we go. It's chemtrails. The disease. No, let me back up. The first one is the virus isn't real. It's not real. It's all made up. It's a conspiracy. It's all made up. No one's really sick with COVID-19. Well, I tell you what, I'd ask Brad, I'd ask Marshy, I'd ask Jeanette, I'd ask others, possibly Jeff DeWitt and so forth, other people in our assembly, if they believe that. Okay. So that's one. It's made up. It isn't real. It's chemtrails. Chemtrails are causing 5G. Chemtrails are causing COVID-19. No, what really is it's 5G towers. 5G towers are causing it. What this is it's really a test run for totalitarianism, right? So they can, just so the government can see how easy they can put us onto a totalitarian regime. It's a Chinese chemical biological attack. It's the deep state. It's Trump himself working to out the deep state. And it's a QAnon and all this conspiracy stuff. No, that's not what it is. It's the Illuminati and the Freemasons. They're responsible for it. They are working the New World Order, the NWO, and they're going to, you know, do all this stuff, right? And if that doesn't suit your fancy, this is a plot by, you know, the political left to destroy the church and to, you know, do all this sort of thing, right? You know what all that is? That's surmisings. That is suspicion. That is imagination without certain knowledge, okay? Now, do we know that the course of this world is working? Do we know that it's contrary to what God is seeking to accomplish in the dispensation of grace? Yes, absolutely. But you don't know for sure if any of these things on this list are what they say they are. And so what happens is people listen to this stuff. They listen to these evil surmisings, and they get all worked up in their flesh. And they start striving, and they start doing exactly what this verse is talking about. Verse 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strives of words, whereof come the envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. This type of stuff, guys, is the work of the flesh, and it does not edify. Okay? It's what Paul's talking about at the end of Romans 13, when he talks about not in any... Let me just go there, because I'm temporarily drawing a blank on this. It's at the end of that passage there in Romans 13. I've read it the last 2 weeks, where he says in verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. I'm seeing believers posting stuff about literally, you know, calling for armed insurrection in some cases. Okay? That's not in line with this. Verse 15, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh that you fulfill the lust thereof. All this strife and envying and all this stuff, it's evil surmisings, and it's not edifying, and it's not the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not the work of the Word of God. It's folks that are carried away in their flesh that are getting involved in these things. Now, come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. As you think about this, in the definition of surmise, so I'm looking at it right here on my computer, the definition of surmise, Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language, the verb means to imagine without certain knowledge. To imagine without certain knowledge. Now, I have a question. What does our apostle say we're supposed to do with imaginations? What does our apostle say we're supposed to do with when we get run away and carried away in our imaginations? What does the Word of God say about that? Does the Word of God say to, you know, entertain that and fixate on that and meditate on that and post post, you know, 15 posts a day on your Facebook wall about the government and all the stuff going on? Is that what we're supposed to do with our imaginations? That's not what Paul says we're supposed to do. What are we supposed to do with imaginations? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God through the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down imaginations. What does it mean to surmise? What it means to surmise is to imagine without certain knowledge. We are not supposed to be entertaining these surmisings. We are not supposed to be entertaining these imaginations. We're supposed to be casting them down. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. As a believer, we're supposed to be casting that stuff down. We're supposed to be bringing all that stuff captive to the obedience of Christ. We're not supposed to be entertaining it. We're certainly not supposed to be propagating it and being the leaders of it in some cases. Okay? Now, I understand that I'm putting myself out there here in a way that is going to probably make some people not happy with me. But where is our focus as believers, as members of the church, the body of Christ? Are we entertaining these things? Come back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Are we entertaining things, imaginations, without certain knowledge, based upon slight evidence? I mean, I've been hearing people for years saying, just wait till next week, they're going to get Hillary. Just wait till next week, and Trump's going to do this and out the deep state. Just wait until after Good Friday, and this or that will happen. None of it ever happens. Okay? None of it happens. Why? Because it's all a bunch of imagination based upon uncertain knowledge, and it's slight evidence. I mean, if you have the decoder ring from the cereal box, you can make anything you want to, you know, fit together and say, boom, there it is. But that's not what we're supposed to be doing. Verse 4, 1 Timothy 6, 4. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof coming envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Look at verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. If I am seeing folks engaging in evil surmisings as a believer, what my apostle is telling me to do is not to join in, hop on the bad wagon, and ride the hobby horse. My job is to withdraw myself. My job is to cast down the imagination and take my thought captive to the obedience of Christ, and withdraw myself from that type of thinking and people who are propagating those types of evil surmisings. Okay, come with me if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Come with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look with me at verse 17. Where's our focus supposed to be as believers? Are we supposed to be focused on evil surmisings and imaginations without certain knowledge and slight evidence and all of that? No. What are we supposed to be focused on? Verse 17. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen. We just went over this Sunday in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, right? That for by him, talking about Christ who created things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities and powers, right? We're not supposed to be, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That's what my focus needs to be as a believer. And you know what? When your mind is meditating on God's word, and you're seeking to renew your mind, and you're not letting that stuff in, you're going to be far more peaceful, far more content, okay? Because your focus is where Paul says it should be. While we look not at the things which are seen. Can I tell you, if you're looking at Whitmer, if you're looking at Trump, if you're looking at the Democrats, if you're looking at the Republicans, whoever it is that you're looking at, who you think has the answers or doesn't have the answers, whatever the case may be, all of that is going to just fuel the flesh. Okay? We are not to be looking at what is seen. We're to be looking at what is not seen. Come over to Colossians chapter 3. Come over to Colossians chapter 3. Come over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? Because we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. So we're not to look at what's seen, we're to look at what's not seen. We're to set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Why? Verse 3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Come over to Philippians chapter 3. Come over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. We need to be looking at the things that are not seen. We need to not be looking at the visible things. We need to not be looking at the earthly things. We need to not be looking at the things that we can't that we can't control, but we need to fix our gaze on heaven while we wait for the Savior and not engage in all of this stuff going on. That's what Paul's saying. He's saying cast down the imagination. Take your thought captive. Don't involve yourself in evil surmisings. Remove yourself from those who would do so. But see, now you're going to have to decide if you still like me. Because a lot of you, a lot of us, and I know I've been there myself, man, I was so caught up in politics in the past. So caught up in politics in the past. My wife finally had to say to me, what's wrong with you? You're not acting like the person that I married, because I had so much angst about stuff that I had no control over. Come with me to Galatians chapter 5. Come with me to Galatians chapter 5. So why did I title this, Is COVID-19 Scrambling Your Eggs? Well, we can look at the work of the flesh in this passage. We should probably read this, okay? We need to start, though, with verse 13 again. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty as an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know, I saw a post yesterday which I thought was a very good post. This person was talking about how, you know, we have this history in America of sort of this unrestrained freedom to basically do whatever we want, right? And we've forgotten, therefore, about cooperation. We've forgotten, therefore, about the real liberty that we have, and that's the liberty that's in Christ, the liberty that says, I'm going to give up my right to demand what I think I want and need for the purpose of serving somebody else. That's what Paul's talking about here, okay? For the flesh lusteth, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath. Now here we're getting into that list. Okay, that list of things from 1 Timothy chapter 6. Wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in the past, it told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit. Okay, so here's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Paul talks about the peace that passes understanding there in Philippians chapter 4, right? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and here's the one I want to focus on this evening, temperance. Temperance. Now, If you think about the issue of temperance, temperance is the fruit of the Spirit, all right? It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. And temperance, here's a definition, Noah Webster's American Dictionary of the English Language. It says, temperance, noun, moderation. Interesting, moderation. Particularly, habitual moderation in regard to the indulgence of natural appetites and passions. Restrained or moderate indulgence as temperance in eating and drinking, etc. Okay? And not indulging to the excess. That's what temperance means. Second definition, patience, calmness, okay? Satedness, moderation of passion. The fruit of the Spirit does not produce that striving to just blast the politics. Temperance. I was talking to my wife this morning about this, and we were having a conversation about how I was feeling and what I was thinking and what I'd been observing and so forth, and my thoughts about it. And we had this conversation about temperance, and we had a conversation about tempering eggs. In certain recipes, you know, you have egg in the recipe, and you might have to add something hot, some sort of hot liquid or what have you, to the recipe. Now, if you just take all the hot liquid and you dump it into the eggs, you know what happens? The eggs scramble. Because you take that hotness, and you dump it all in there, and the eggs scramble. Whereas if you moderately, temperately, slowly, in a controlled way, pour the hot water in a little bit at a time and stir it in, and a little bit more and stir it in, and a little bit more and stir it in a temperate, controlled, calm manner, are you able to temper the eggs without scrambling them? Yes. What's happening is COVID-19 and the politics of the situation are being dumped into everybody's eggs and scrambling them. That's the illustration that I'm using here. The definition of temperance is the fruit. Temperance is one of the fruit of the Spirit. The ability to be moderate. The ability to not overindulge your natural appetites and passions. The ability to not get carried away, but to have patient calmness and satedness. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's not the work of the flesh. That's the fruit of the Spirit, okay, in your life. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. The first Wednesday night I came on, I went to this passage, Philippians chapter 4. The first Wednesday night I came on for a midweek message, I went to this passage, and we studied this passage in Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5. Paul says here, let your moderation be known unto all men. Huh. Moderation. What's moderation? Well, one of the definitions of temperance is moderation. So, as a believer, what should be the character trait that I'm known for as a believer out there from those that are outside the household of faith, if you will, okay? What should they be observing in me as a believer? Hot, fiery passion, which, by the way, is why they call it a temper. What do they call somebody that has no control over anger? What do they call somebody that has no control over wrath and just wants to fight and wrangle and bicker and strive? And all of that, those people are viewed, or we often say they have a temper, that they are unable to control their passions in that way. So as a believer, what we should be known for is not being carried away with every conspiracy, with every evil surmising, with everything that's being said and done out there. What we should be characterized and known as and known for is our moderation, is our temperance, that temperance that the Holy Spirit produces in you, that moderation to not overindulge the passion, to be patient and calm and so forth. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. All men. All men. When people think of Brian Ross, when people think of you, fill in the blank, whoever's listening, what are you known for by all men? Are you known for evil surmising? Are you known for conspiracy thinking? Are you known for, you know, are you known for being carried away and all this stuff? Or are you known for your temperance and for your moderation? I don't know. That's a question only you can answer. But I know what the scriptures say. Now, let me just say, I'm not sitting here all high and mighty and saying that I never get inflamed in these ways, that I never let my passions get the better of me, that I never have gotten frustrated and irritated and upset or let my mind wander down the conspiracy trail and think about, well, what's this and what's that? And if you look at it this way, then it could mean this. But you know what all that is when I come to God's Word? All that is imagination. All that is imagination without certain evidence, without certain proof, based upon slight things. So I'm not saying I'm immune to this, but I'm saying that this is the answer. The answer is, what are we setting our affection on? The answer is, are we renewing our mind? The answer is, are we allowing ourselves to be carried away in those things that we're supposed to withdraw ourselves, cast down, and take captive? Verse 5, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's really, when I was sitting there this morning with my wife talking, and we were having our coffee, and we were discussing this, and I said, is something wrong with me that I'm not more upset? This verse came to mind. The peace of God. The peace of God in the midst of calamity. The peace of God in the midst of sickness and disease and financial hardship and political turmoil and economic problems, none of which I'm saying aren't real. What I'm saying is, as believers, we need to think soberly about these things. Okay? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. See, there it is, true. What is an evil surmising? An evil surmising is something that is based on slight evidence that you can't know is true. What can you know is true? I'm convinced of this more every day, that the only thing that you can know in all the world that is absolutely true, all the time, without question, is that book right there. That's it. Not the president, not the governor, not your favorite party, not your favorite radio talk show host, not your favorite pundit on CNN or Fox News. The only place that you have absolute certainty and truth is right here in this book. That's it. And if you haven't learned anything else through this, that should be sort of lesson number one, right? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. See, if it's honest, it's not going to go down the road of an evil surmising, because an evil surmising produces mischief. Okay? Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. See, we come right back to it again. What are we thinking about? What are we allowing to control our mind? Are we taking this stuff captive, or are we allowing ourselves to be run away with our passion, to be run away with the crowd, to be run away with what everyone else is doing? Or are we standing forth for the truth of the Word of God and being a clear voice of reason in the midst of the chaos, in the midst of the calamity, in the midst of the circumstances that are bad, for what is true, what is unchanging, and what cannot be denied? Just want to challenge your thinking on these things, okay? Believers should be the most temperate people around. Believers should not be running around with their eggs scrambled. all worked up in hot, fiery passion. Believers should be the most temperate, the most modern, the most moderate people around, and I'm going to say it, not a bunch of unhinged conspiracy theorists who are more concerned about evil surmisings than they are about their ambassadorship, and they are about being a voice of calm, moderate, temperate reason for the truth of God's Word rightly divided. So I just want to challenge you with that. I just want you to challenge your thinking on that. Don't let COVID-19 scramble your eggs. Take the situation and temper it with God's Word. When you find that you're getting worked up, put a little God's Word in there. Ease it out. Get yourself worked up again. Go to God's Word. Meditate on God's Word. Pray about what's going on, right? And put your take it captive, right? That's the mindset. Renew your mind. Think about what's right. Think about what's true. Think about what's lovely. Avoid those things that you know are going to come into your thought process and stir you up. Avoid them. Don't even go there. Don't turn the radio on. Don't turn the TV on. If you need to unfriend people or unfollow people or block people or whatever it is, do it. And be moderate, temperate. Don't have your eggs scrambled. Lord, thanks for this day and for this time. We're grateful for the time we spend together in your word. We pray this would be edifying and encouraging. Challenging, yes, also. I pray that that folks will receive this in the spirit in which it's intended, and that we'll think about these things, we'll pray about these things, we'll consider these things. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.